Hallelujah, the crusher heading out. You need to pray for Venora. This is Venora's first day in the creche. Venora, you are more than able.
Amen.
Be blessed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The song we sang, and I've forgotten what the word was now. It's about singing forever. Can you remind me what that song is, John? It just keeps saying about I will sing of your love forever. What a joy to be able to sing to the Lord. And you know what? We can only sing to the Lord because he sings over us. We can only sing to the Lord because his love is in us. And every moment of every day, honestly, when we do it, when we sing to the Lord, what joy. The issues, all of these things that need to get thrown out of the hot air balloon, they just disappear. And you're lifted because you're in the presence of Almighty God. You're singing unto your Saviour, the one who has redeemed you from the pit. The one who has broken every chain.
Amen.
You're singing to him because he's worthy to be sang to. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, as he is worthy to be sang to, what I want, what I believe that the Lord laid in my heart is that he wants you to know how much you're worth. He wants you to know how much you are worth.
Amen.
Are you getting me, Tom? Are you hearing me? Yes. Hallelujah. Sheena, are you hearing me too? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. At the ladies' meeting a week past on Wednesday, the Lord asked us all a question. And I believe that God wants to ask this question to all of us again today, whether you were at the ladies' meeting or whether you weren't. We looked at two accounts in the Bible. The first account is from Mark 1. Just a couple of verses, 40 to 42. So just take a note of the scripture if you're taking notes. It's not the main script that I've asked Mary to put up later. But Mark 1, verses 40 to 42 says, "A man with leprosy came to him," that is Jesus, "and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" Verse 4, 41 says, "Filled with compassion." And you need to note that Jesus was filled with compassion. "Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured." Hallelujah. What a great story of an account that was real. An account that was true. And how do we know it's true? Because it's in the Word of God. We can believe that that story actually happened. That it's not just a story. But it's an account of something that was very real. So here was a man who was a leper, who had no business to even be there at that time, because he should have been in his leper colony. He was an outcast, because nobody wanted to be near anyone who suffered from leprosy. It was contagious. He was thought of as being unclean. He had been banished by society. And this man had no worth. Because that's what the world put on him. The world rejected him. Well, praise God for Jesus coming along. We read that Jesus was filled with compassion. Compassion is an emotion which comes out of the depths of the heart. Compassion makes it impossible not to move. If you're feeling compassionate about something, then you will be caused to do something. You cannot stay where you are and do nothing because you're moved with compassion. There's something that's going on deep, deep, deep inside of you that's saying, come on, Andrew. Come on, Andrew. You can do something about this. You're aching because of this situation and you've got the power in you to do something. You've got the power to move and to make change happen. Amen. To make change happen. And that's where Jesus was. He was moved with compassion and he reached out and he touched the leper. He touched him and from that very touch, he was healed. He was a leper no more. Hallelujah. But do you know what Jesus was doing that moment that he touched him? He was telling him that he was valuable. He was telling him that he was of great worth. Because the world had banished him. He had to be alone. Jesus said, no, you'll never be alone. Because I love you. That was the compassion of Jesus. Jesus did not reach out because of pity or sympathy, but he reached out because of love, because he is love. God's very nature in the flesh. You and I are meant to be like that too. Ooh, there's a challenge in there. The religious leaders had stripped this man of every sense of value and worth. His hopes were crushed by cruel hands, by cruel words. The world had turned its back on him. And yet here Jesus comes and gives him back his worth. He says, you are highly loved. Jesus chose to place his love on someone the world considered unlovable. Do you know any unlovable people in your circle of influence? People that you might even struggle to love. People that appear to you to be unlovable. And yet, because of Jesus in us, we have the ability to love as Jesus loved. You have the ability in you, with Jesus' love, to cause change to come into those that we may consider to be unlovable. Isn't that an honour and a privilege and a blessing? The act of compassion that Jesus showed had nothing to do with the leper. But it had everything to do with Jesus. The leper could not manufacture that kind of love. And he couldn't do anything to change that kind of love. But he accepted that love. And his life was changed forever. Hallelujah. It was an unconditional love. It was who Jesus was. It was his divine nature. And that same divine nature is in you and me, if Christ dwells in us. Yeah. Hallelujah. On the ladies' evening, we also looked at another short story, another account in Luke 18, verses 40 to 43, where there was another encounter with Jesus. And this time it was a blind man. And this blind man was begging at the roadside. And there was a commotion going on because Jesus was coming. And he asked, what's all this about? Oh, Jesus is coming. Now, he had heard of Jesus because in the next breath, this man said, Son of David, have mercy on me. So he didn't just know about Jesus. He knew that this man was the son of David. There was some kind of recognition and understanding in this man of who this man was. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus called for the man to be brought to him. And Jesus asked him this question: what do you want me to do for you? Now, Jesus knew that this man was blind. But Jesus asked the question because he needed to hear what the man's response was going to be. And the man's response was very simple: I want to see. And Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. You see, this man put his faith in Jesus as the Son of David, knowing that the Son of David would have mercy on him. And the Son of David, in his mercy, touched that man and gave him his sight. But he asked the question, what do you want me to do for you? And I believe today Jesus wants to ask you. Just imagine this is you and Jesus. Nobody else in this room, just you and Jesus. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus wants to hear your cry. He already knows it, but he wants to hear it from you because that's your response in faith. Amen? So I would encourage you, when you go home, think about that question. And you speak to Jesus. And you tell Jesus what you would like him to do for you. Because here's the truth. He is willing. He is willing. As he was willing with the leper and willing with the blind man, he is willing towards you too. Hallelujah. That is really good news. You should be jumping for joy. You should be jumping for joy. I'm jumping for joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to look at another account, and this is the account I've asked Mary to put up. We're looking at Mark 10, verses 17 to 31. And this is the story all about the rich young man, or the rich young ruler. I'm quoting from the NIV. Hallelujah. Mark 10, verses 17 to 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honour your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, well, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them, persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Hallelujah. I love that story. There's so much in it, and we're only looking at one or two things today. I wonder how much do you and I really understand and have revelation of that unconditional love that we have through Jesus. I wonder if maybe like the leper who had lost any sense of worth. I wonder if you and I lose our sense of worth sometimes. Sometimes things when we're thinking things we shouldn't be thinking, or when we're doing things that we shouldn't be thinking, do we then think that we're not worthy of God's love? Do we then just remember that, you know, remember all the bad things, remember all the difficulties, remember all the times you got it wrong, when you should have said something and you didn't, and when you shouldn't have said something and you did, and when you made a situation worse because of your heart attitude? All of these things take away our worth because we look at ourselves with our own eyes, but we need to see ourselves as Jesus sees us. Amen. Do you sometimes look for acceptance in others, hoping that it'll be because you're doing something for them? Are you trying to get acceptance, but out of your own strengths? Are you sometimes exhausted at the end of the day because all throughout that day you've lived that day in your own strength? You've not included God. You forgot about him. And then you feel guilty. Then you can feel ashamed. But Jesus is always willing to love. Jesus' love doesn't change. It's there 24/7. Irrespective of you, and in spite of you, whether you do it good or whether you do it bad, Jesus says, I am willing towards you. I am willing. And it's because he is willing that that's when everything changes. Let's look at the story of the rich young ruler. We see that Jesus' instruction was that he should sell all that he has and give it to the poor. Jesus knew that that was the stumbling block for this rich young ruler. And Jesus has a great way of coming to you and me and saying something which we really need to hear, but it might be difficult to accept. When Jesus knows that there's an area in your life that needs to be changed, if you're full of you, then you won't be full of Jesus. Right. If you think your way is right, then you won't follow the way of Jesus. Jesus knew this man's struggle. Although this man said that he had kept all of these commandments since he was a boy, Jesus knew that he was still lacking because he didn't understand that in order to receive love, you have to give love. And that the more he gave, if he gave out of his riches to the poor, he would receive greater wealth back from Jesus, because there's greater joy in giving. There's a greater joy in giving than in having. And this was this man's dilemma. This was this man's struggle. Because he was rich. And the saddest thing, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do what Jesus asked him. Why? Because he was full of himself. He didn't understand the freedom that would come in his life by doing what Jesus asked of him. And I wonder, what about you and me? Are we like that too? When sometimes we know that Jesus is asking something of us, but it's hard or it's difficult, or we would rather not, because we know that there's a price to pay. That price that we need to pay is a dying to ourselves, so that Christ can live. So that what Christ's intentions are, they will then come forth when we die. It's no longer you and I that lives, but Christ who lives in us. This man could never do anything to gain God's love other than just receive it. But he wasn't prepared to do the thing that Jesus asked of him. And that is why Jesus said how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. If this man's sufficiency is in his possessions and in his wealth, then why does he need God? He's got it all in the things that he has. Why does he need God? He missed that important relationship. He missed the importance of having that love deep in his heart that would then, out of love, he could very freely give away all his possessions. But he was consumed so much with himself that he could not see it. How sad. Scripture said at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. It's tragic. But do you know what? Sometimes you and I are like that. Sometimes you and I go away sad. Or we don't allow that joy to be there. Because we're trying to do it in our own strength. We're thinking that our ways better than his ways. Well, I'm sorry, but they're not. They will never match up to his ways. We can only love with his love when we allow his love to be in us. We can only do the things of God when we let God be who he is in us. We need to die. We need to die. Hallelujah. The sad thing about this man's possessions, his possessions had him. His possessions were more important. What things do you and I maybe possess or hold on to that we think are more important instead of letting them out the side of the hot air balloon so that we can rise? If you're holding on to anything other than Jesus, it's a hindrance and it's a stumbling block and you need to throw it over. You need to throw it over. Some of us are holding on to our past. Well, do you know what? If you're in Christ, your past is dead and buried. Your past is dead and gone. Why are you even remembering it? God says, I remember it no more. I remember it no more. So why do you and I remember our past? At times. And we're all guilty of it. But we only remember these things when we're in our flesh. When we're doing these things out of our own strength. This poor man had more faith in his riches than he did in Jesus. And how sad is that? But here's a question I ask myself. Am I ever like that? Do I have faith in other things other than Jesus? Lord, I pray that I don't. He's the reason I sing. I could not sing without him. Because I've got nothing to sing about. I've only got something to sing about because of Christ in me. Because he is my hope and he is my glory. He is my glory. He is my strength. He is my all in all. The rich young ruler was trying to buy his way into the kingdom. How sad. Let's look at what the disciples say. Peter, in verse 28, says, "We have left everything to follow you." And then Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. You need to beware and you need to listen when Jesus said, 'I tell you the truth,' because it's the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come. We get eternal life." That's a good deal. That is a good deal. The disciples, they tried to give their all. They left everything. But do you know what? That wasn't the answer either. Because Jesus was actually saying that neither of these responses is enough to qualify for eternal life. What you need to do is accept Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And to walk in his ways, and then you have eternal life. Amen. And that is how you get accepted in the Beloved. Because you know him. You know him, and you are getting to know him more. Amen. Amen. Your relationship is deepening. Amen. So then, of course, the disciples say, "Well, who can be saved? Who can be saved?" And Jesus said, "With men it is impossible." You and I cannot save ourselves. Jesus is our Saviour. There is nothing that we can do or give. Nothing we can do or give or sacrifice that would ever be enough. His sacrifice was the only sacrifice. He was the pure, spotless Lamb of God. He was the only one. And it's because of his sacrifice and the acceptance of that sacrifice by the Father that you and I are accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. That is good news. That is who you are. That is where your worth comes. It comes from his love. And he loves you whether you are lovable or whether you are unlovable. He loves you whether you do good or whether you do bad. But his longing is that as we fall deeper in love with him, then we will show more of that nature in everything that we do. Because everything that we do will be out of love. A pure love. An unconditional love. Not a love that says, "I will love you if you will do this for me." Not a love that says, "Well, if you measure up to this, that's when you can have my love." We have to love because we have been loved first. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." And the beginning of that sentence, the end of that sentence is only there because of the beginning. Because it was God who so loved the world that he gave his only son. And we all know how that ends. But for you and me, that's our choice. To accept that for ourselves and to allow Christ to be our Lord and our Saviour. If the rich young ruler had seen the love of Christ when he was speaking to Jesus, he would have traded his empire and his riches without even thinking about it, because he would have been overwhelmed by the love of God. And likewise, the disciples, if they had understood in greater measure his love for them, they would have realised that they already had his acceptance. They already had it. And let us go back to Mark 10. Because when the rich young man spoke in verse 20, he said, "Teacher, all of these things, all of these commandments, I have kept since I was a boy." Verse 21 says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. You see, he already had the love of Jesus. Jesus already loved him. Even whilst he had his possessions, Jesus already loved him. And the rich young ruler didn't see it. He didn't understand, because he was so wrapped up and so caught up in the possessions of his wealth. Oh, that you and I will never be caught up in anything that we think we have outside of Christ. Because here's the truth, the only thing that we do have is in Christ. Amen. Apart from me, you have nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing, it says in John 15. No, I'm not telling my wee story. Apart from me. But we are not apart. We have been engrafted into the branch. He is the vine, and you and I, we are just the branches. And the fruit comes on the branches. The fruit doesn't come on the tree. The fruit comes on the branches of the tree. So the fruit comes through you and me. And it's got to be the fruit of the Spirit. It's got to be the fruit of love. It can't be any other fruit. Because any other fruit outside of the fruit of the Spirit, it is bad fruit. It will achieve nothing for the kingdom. But good fruit, wow, that'll change the world. And that good fruit, where is it? It's inside you and me. It's inside you and me. Let's just read Ephesians 2, just to close. I'm actually reading this from the Amplified Version, so it may be a bit different to your Bible. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. Hallelujah. Are you glad that he is rich in mercy? Are you glad of his intense, unconditional love, which is showered upon you every day? Hallelujah. And are you glad that you have been made alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ? Wow. You need to see that what is being said here is that you and I are the object of his satisfaction. He sees you as valuable. And that's the value that he puts on you. He says, you are worthy of that value because I have paid the price. I have paid the cost. You and I are the object of his joy. Many times in Scripture it says, make my joy complete. You Just you, not everybody else, you. You complete joy to Jesus. Does that not make you feel valuable? Does that not make you feel of great worth? Does that not make you feel precious, wanted, accepted, hallelujah, beloved, amen, treasured? You need to know that every moment of every day. You need to know how special you are to him. Because here's the truth. As we are the light, we take his joy, his strength, everything of him, we take that to everyone that we come into contact with. You have the power to change circumstances, to change atmospheres. You go into a room where there's discord, disunity, you can bring peace. You can bring rest. You can bring what is required to make that a good place, to make that a fruitful place, to make that a place of abundance. Why? Because it's Christ in you. He says, I need you to be you so that the world will see me in you and through you, so that I can use you as my vessel to speak my words, that I can use your hands to do what I want you to do, that I can use your feet to take you where I want to take you. Do you see your worth? Or do you just think you're not important? Do you think you've got nothing to do? You need to see yourself as Christ sees you. Amen. You are so needed in the kingdom of God, so that you can be that light to the world, to your families, to your neighbours, to your work colleagues, to the lady at the supermarket in Tesco's, to the person behind the bank, to whoever it is that's in the petrol station. Wherever you go, you are empowered with the love of God to impart worth to people. Do you know that this world, people need to know that they're loved? And the people that you meet, you can give that person worth because you say something beautiful to them. You show them an act of kindness. You say to them, do you know what? You really are a special person. Who, me? I'm nothing. My family have rejected me. I've been thrown out. Nobody loves me. You can show that person a different way. You can give them respect and honour and worth. Because when you know that worth, you can't keep it to yourself. You've got to make other people feel that worth too. Because they are worth it. Jesus died for them as well. As much as he died for you, he died for them. I pray that you will meditate on all that you are, on all of your worth, because of his love. And I pray that that will change your heart towards others, that you can show them worth too. That you can respect and honour them. The people that are considered wasters or down and outs, people who will never accomplish anything. In a very different way, you and I were there. We might not have been in that situation, but you and I were in a pit. We were in a pit and we needed to be saved. And Jesus came along and he touched you with his love. And your life has been changed forever.
Amen.
And you can change others' lives forever.
Amen.
By giving them the worth that Jesus gave you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.